It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy. Hello, welcome, one and all. It is a beautiful Friday, May the 26th, 2023, here in a non-radio land. You're listening to a non-radio, powered by SDF. Thank you for being here. It is news time. It's presently 30 degrees. That's the high for today, so won't be too terrible. One of the funny things is for the last, you'd have to go back through the archives, but I switched my watch and my other applications to using centigrade instead of Fahrenheit for my temperature. And man, I tell you, it's, besides, it's becoming easier to, it's finally, after like, feels like at least a year, but finally feels like, hey, I'm starting to get the hang of it. We got two hawks flying overhead. I've got a feeling they're like turkey buzzards, I guess. I want to call them hawks, but if they're hawks, they're funny looking hawks. But they're not the kind of buzzards that have red heads either. So I don't know. Big old birds flying overhead. It's hazy outside. We got that ozone action. And my AC's air conditioner condensate line is clogged up again, I guess, because I woke up to a big puddle in my chair in the closet. So, all right. Well, that's not what we're here for. We're here to talk about news. I was just walking across the roof there to get to my spot. So we've made it to the overhang where now I can see the screen again. So we just go over here to bookmarks menu, and then go to news to me for May 26th. And we can talk about news. Oh, that's what's missing. We need to jump over into comm. All you gotta do is SSH over to tty.sdf.org. SDF.org if you want. Either way, you'll get to the cluster, and then you can run comm. C-O-M. You press enter, you type G for go to, and then type anon radio, all lowercase, all one word. Boom. You will be in the anon radio room hanging out. What's going on in the anon radio room right now? Well, let's press R and C. Oops. My comm is either lagging or something else is going on. yep, here we go. Bam. Now we got something. LCD talking about FileZilla, Freefall, and Jay LaMoth. Stug is around. Quentin's around. Oh yeah. Ratsu. Hello. Welcome. So, it's a slowish news day. Might be slow because we've got a holiday here in the U.S. on Monday, and I'm off of work on Monday, so I should be able to do the show from home, as long as I don't, wander off. Alright, so let's get going. What's the first place? Where's the first death and destruction gonna come from? Oh, man. Well, it's not Bulgaria, but it is involved with Bulgaria. Four people, believed to be of Bulgarian origin, were shot dead in an upscale Cape Town neighborhood, South African police said on Thursday. A criminal wanted by Interpol, Krasimir Kamenov, was among the victims, according to judicial and government sources in Sofia. At 8:20, the bodies of two women and two men aged between 40 and 50 were discovered with gunshot wounds. The victims are believed to be of Bulgarian origin. According to judicial and government sources in Sofia, Krasimir Kamenov, a high-flying criminal who was part of the Bulgarian organized crime elite after the fall of communism in this Balkan country, is among the victims. He's wanted on an Interpol red notice for extortion and murder. So there we go. A little bit of a surprise. Hey, Publius, welcome. But yeah, Bulgarian organized crime. Coming to a bloody end in South Africa. But don't worry, there's other places death is happening. In the United States, a person was shot and killed. Well, that's not very special. Okay, well, it was a person of color. Oh, well, that's really not special. Okay, they were killed by the cops. Oh, that's kind of commonplace. Okay, he was 11 years old. Oh, now it makes sense. A lawyer for an 11-year-old boy shot by police in Mississippi say there's no way officers could have mistaken the child for an adult. Carlos Moore and the family are asking for a full and transparent... Oh, and he wasn't killed, which is thank goodness. But they're asking for a probe into what happened. The child was shot in the chest inside his home on Saturday after he called 911 for a domestic disturbance. The officer who shot him has been placed on leave. The boy's mother said after being shot, he asked, "Why did he shoot me? What did I do?" And he was crying. He's recovering at home after being released from a local hospital earlier this week. He was treated for a collapsed lung, fractured ribs, and a lacerated liver. They say he was shot after an officer responding to this Saturday morning call drew his gun at the front door and asked for everyone inside the home to come out with their hands up. The boy then walked around a hallway corner into the living area where he was struck.
Oh.
That was a big truck, but it was a big truck hauling a large trailer with a giant Guinness logo on the side. So I'm hoping he's bringing the good people of Austin some Guinness. Both his mother and the officer helped render aid until the medics arrived. Mr. Moore said that the child stands about 4'10" and could not have been mistaken for the adult man who was the subject of the domestic disturbance call. "You couldn't perceive that he was an adult or a threat because he didn't have anything in his hands," Mr. Moore told the BBC on Friday. "I don't see why he shot him." They added that the boy was just obeying his mother, who had asked him to call the police for assistance after she grew concerned by the behavior of the father of another of her children. He said the family is relieved the boy survived, but they're shaken by the incident. So, if we ever hear anything about it, I'll let you know. Use your FXNet. Thank God he's recovering. Hope that cop gets rocked out by the legal system. So he'll be on paid leave for a while. Who knows? Quentin. Yeah, sometimes the commentary is not as subtle as I'd hope it would be, but that just kind of leaks out sometimes. Alrighty. Well, how else are people dying around in the world? Well, this is kind of this is more of a destruction story, because death and destruction. You know, we got to get our D&D in before the weekend. Two 13-year-olds have turned themselves over to police after a blaze gutted a 7-story heritage building in central Sydney. The Australian police said an arson investigation has been launched after Thursday's fire at a vacant former hat factory, which spread to an adjacent building and forced mass evacuations. A group of young people were seen running from the fiery scene shortly after 4 p.m. The two young people handed themselves in at two separate police stations in the late hours of last night, he said. "We're speaking with these young people throughout the evening, and they are now assisting police with our inquiries. They're both 13 years old." He called on 3 or 4 other young people who were present during the fire to come forward with their parents to put their side of the story forward. Shortly after the blaze erupted, flames higher than the building and a thick column of smoke could be seen across Sydney. The entire top floor wall toppled and crashed into pieces on the street below, fire service video showed, as the building glowed orange with red with flames. Rush hour transport to and from nearby Central Station had to be stopped as firefighters tackled the blaze. So, yeah, don't start fires, and definitely be careful if you do, you know. Let's see what we got here. Hey, X1, welcome. There's the Riemer temperature scale. Freezing of water is 0 degrees, boiling point is 80 degrees. Oh, that's an interesting one. I hadn't heard of that one. All right, so we're keeping it moving. We're rolling along. We're going to find out about a temperature system from Publius in a little bit, I'm sure. What's the worst way to die? I don't know. Starving to death is up there, though. Families say couple were not offered support to evacuate despite living near a British embassy. An 85-year-old British citizen was shot by snipers, and his wife died of starvation after they were left behind in Sudan, their family said. Abdallah Shulgami. Oh, hey. Motorcycle. A little scooter, though. Like, a little small one. Like, 125 cc's or something. Abdallah Shulgami, who owns a hotel in London, lived with his 80-year-old wife, Alawish Wishwan, who is disabled, close to the UK's diplomatic base in Khartoum. According to the report, Shulgami was not offered support to leave Sudan and was instead told to go to an airfield 25 miles outside Khartoum, crossing a war zone to board an evacuation flight. Faced with starvation and with no water, Shulgami was forced to leave his wife to find help. While he was away, he was shot 3 times in his hand, chest, and lower back. He survived after being taken to a family member in another part of Khartoum. Family said Shulgami's wife was left to fend for herself and it was impossible for them to reach her in an area surrounded by snipers. As a result, she died of starvation. Shulgami's granddaughter, Azhar, who grew up in Khartoum, said the embassy was a maximum 4 steps away. What happened to my grandparents was a crime against humanity, not only by the rapid support forces, not only by the Sudanese army, but by the British embassy, because they were the only ones that could have prevented this from happening. So yeah, starving to death, LCD says starving to death, burning, drowning. Yeah, I think, I'd say, for me, I say burning to death is up there, starving to death, and then drowning. Drowning doesn't seem so bad. I'd say drowning would only be, is only scary for a little bit. You lose consciousness pretty quick, I think. I don't know. User FXNet, learning what the death and destruction section is all about. News goes from violent to chaos. All right. So, 85-year-olds get shot, but you know what? Let's flip that around. Flip it, reverse it. Instead of 85, 58. 58's a magic number. What do you think that magic number is? Well, I'm gonna drop a hint in Kong with the picture link. Please note, this picture link may be illegal in Germany. I don't know. Probably not. Drugs. All right. Boom. Peruvian police seize 58 kilograms of cocaine. But that wouldn't be a news to me story. No, no. Drugs found to be in a shipment said to be destined for Belgium. Also had what? The name Hitler printed on them and swastikas on top of them. Peruvian anti-drug police have seized 58 1-kilo packages of cocaine destined for Belgium, bearing a picture of a Nazi flag on the outside and the name Hitler printed in low relief. The discovery occurred in the port of Paita on Peru's northern Pacific coast, close to its border with Ecuador. What they mean is it's like stamped into the brick of cocaine. So, and if you can see the image, if you can't, I'll just tell you, the link is sdf.org/UF. It's sdf.org/Lima/uniform/foxtrot. sdf.org/L/UF. So there's 2 slashes in there. User FXNet, vehicle collisions are pretty wild too, by the way. But I've died of it. oh man, a gasoline tanker explosion was a good guess. Cocaine, yep, Hitler cocaine, which I think is just Stug saying, I mean, it is a stimulant, and he loved those. Publius is reminded of the Hitler's Treasure episode of Kamen Rider. Yeah, so essentially, the drugs were hidden inside a shipping container carrying asparagus on the Liberian-flagged vessel SC Anisha R that had earlier anchored in an Ecuadorian port, according to a police report. It was said the shipment was destined for a port in Belgium. The Peruvian Police Anti-Drug Directorate showed videos and photos to AP revealing that the drugs were inside the ventilation system of a container. Police continued to search the more than 80 containers on the vessel. Peruvian authorities have previously reported finding cocaine in brick-shaped packages with various and strange symbols, but never one with the flag of Nazi Germany. Authorities in Peru estimate that the country produces about 90 tons of drug a year, and most leave for Europe by sea, but also through small planes that carry cocaine to Bolivia on its way to Atlantic ports. Peru is the second largest grower of coca leaf, according to the UN, and the second largest producer of cocaine, according to the DEA. So wild. But yeah, German points out Germans do love their asparagus. Oh, Ratsu likes asparagus. I don't mind asparagus. I think asparagus has to be cooked well. And sometimes it can get goopy if it's cooked poorly. Publius points out, for some reason, Germans like that big white asparagus plant. Yeah. So anyway, no intention of malign the great country of Belgium or its people, but it is kind of funny that it was headed towards Belgium. So, all right. So that's going on. Now, let's take it to the U.S. for a second. What do you think, besides just because of the color of the skin, what's one of the dumber ways to kill somebody, or shooting someone, I guess you should say? Well, a Kentucky man figured out an even dumber idea than what you probably thought. A Kentucky man allegedly shot his roommate in the backside after accusing him of eating the last Hot Pocket. Hey, let's see who's passing. Hey, it's a, oh man, I heard his tire eat. He braked rather abruptly. Oh, twice. Okay, he didn't fall over. Sorry, there was a motorcyclist, and he was cruising along, and it sounded like he was revving, so it was kind of like he had poorly shifted, and it's a pretty simple road right here, so if he was having that trouble, I was worried. I heard tires squeal, and so my assumption was, oh, new motorcyclist is having trouble stopping. Oh my gosh. I thought this was dirt up here, but it appears. Oh. Okay, they're seeds. They're dandelion seeds. I thought it was a whole bunch of dead ants. Anyway, sorry about that. Got kind of sidetracked. The wasps are back. Did I tell you that? But yeah. Loud pipes save lives. Yep. But essentially, yes. Clifton Williams, age 64, was arrested on Sunday and charged with second-degree assault. When he appeared in court on Monday, Mr. Williams pleaded not guilty. His mugshot shows him smiling. A police citation stated that a physical fight had first broken out over the fate of the frozen food. Mr. Williams got mad he ate the last Hot Pocket, the citation read, allegedly began throwing tiles at him. The victim tried to fight back and threatened Mr. Williams before leaving the home. Investigators claim that Mr. Williams then got a gun and followed the victim outside, where he shot him in the backside. Mr. Williams was released on a $7,500 bond and is due back in court on May 30th. So, we'll see what happens, but, yes, Blueless, it's kind of funny. A 64-year-old man got that animated over Hot Pockets. Oh, man. Speaking of Hot Pockets, that reminds me to remind you guys, it is 1921 UTC here on Anon Radio, and that means we're 9 minutes away for the Dubious Goals Committee with Hope, a show that airs every goddamn day right here at 1930 UTC. If you are a time traveler and you're not sure what time it is, all you need to do is connect to the internet and go and then listen to anonradio.net. And once you hear Tobe come on the air, you'll know that it's 1930 UTC and you'll be ready to go. You'll have your temporal coordinates and you can continue traveling across the universe. All right. So, and that also means it's time to jump over to some other news. All right, here we go. Belgium, back in the news. What? More than one Belgium story. Where's X1? What's going on? Iran and Belgium conduct a prisoner swap. Iran and Belgium have freed an aid worker and a diplomat imprisoned in each other's country, respectively, in a deal facilitated by Oman. Iran's foreign minister, Hossein Amirabdollaharian, said on Friday that Iranian diplomat was heading back home, while Belgium's Prime Minister Alexander De Croo said aid worker Olivier van der Castille was due to arrive in Belgium. Earlier, the Foreign Ministry of Oman had said the freed individuals were transported from Brussels and Tehran to its capital, Muscat, in preparation for their return to their respective countries. In January, Iran had sentenced van der Castille to 40 years in prison and 74 lashes after convicting him of espionage. He was also fined $1 million. Check on com. So the Kentucky is where the guy got shot in the butt over the Hot Pocket. So if you remember, we talked about a 10-year-old girl who had to get an abortion because she was sexually assaulted. Oh, yeah. God bless America. Well, then whenever she wanted to get an abortion, it was like, oh, it was outlawed in the state she was in. So they had to, like, smuggle her to another state where she then got an abortion. Well, that doctor who performed the abortion went to the news outlet to let the news know, hey, we're seeing these kind of cases, and this is not a good thing. We need better care. We need to be aware of this. Well, she's been reprimanded by the state board because she wasn't supposed to. She violated the privacy of the kid when she shared that information. So she was fined $3,000 U.S. and was issued a letter of reprimand. Just kind of a heads up there. Doing the right thing is not always doing the legal thing, and doing the legal thing is not always the right thing. So, just as a heads up. Now let's talk about chaos in another way. British Airways half-term chaos as IT outage forces cancellation of dozens. A systems outage has forced British Airways to cancel at least 60 flights, stranding thousands of passengers and leaving many more without their luggage. The IT collapse crippled operations at the airline, causing huge delays to departures and arriving flights, and also affected the carrier's website and booking systems. It is the latest in a series of system failures at the British Airways in recent years, including some that triggered days-long chaos and cost it millions of pounds in compensation payouts. Dozens of short-haul flights have been axed, as well as a handful of long-haul flights, ahead of what is already expected to be Heathrow's busiest travel day, at the start of a bank holiday weekend and half-term getaway. Our teams are working hard to resolve the technical issue we've experienced this afternoon. We apologize for the inconvenience. So, this reminds me of our good pals Southwest Airlines and their trouble over the Christmas holidays in the U.S. We can only hope that the British are more forgiving than the United States. Who knows? Maybe we'll get something out of it. I am walking back towards the shade. I fell for one of the oldest tricks in the sun's book. The sun was hiding behind a big cloud, and I was able to read most of those news stories walking around. And then, as I was reading that story, the sun just said, oh, well, hold on, let me just get out of the way. And then I couldn't see. Okay, now we're back. yeah. Nut jobs as far as like abortion stuff are leaking into Canada as well, which is bad. Bro, how is a dang fetus gonna have privacy rights? Exactly. Poor kid. Yeah, tricky son. Yeah, Tobe knows. Clouds, they will betray you. I think Tobe gets the I'm slowly understanding Tobe's sun problems. As the heat gets on here in Texas, it becomes more and more apparent. Alas, such is my fate. Anyway, we've got about 3 minutes to go, so let me give you the headlines of the last cool bits of news before we disappear. Contract signed for Russian multifunctional nuclear service vessel. The Baltic shipyard, Baltiskaya Zavod, has signed a contract with Atomflot for the construction of a multifunctional nuclear technology service vessel, which can load and unload nuclear fuel from reactor units of nuclear icebreakers and floating power units. The multifunction vessel is also designed to safely... Oh, I lost my place. Safely accept, store, and ship liquid radioactive waste generated during the operation of ship reactor installations, as well as in the process of reloading nuclear fuel and soaking of spent fuel assemblies in order to reduce residual heat release. We'll also be able to load used fuel assemblies into shipping containers for transfer to reprocessing, as well as tackling decontamination of removable parts of ship reactor plants and refueling equipment. The ship will be 158 meters long, 26 meters wide, and have displacement of 22,661 tons, 50% financed from Rosatom and the 50% from the Russian federal budget. So that will be kind of cool. It'll be an interesting, a new refueling vessel out there in the world. And, oh yeah, this is a battery story. Hyundai and LG announced $4.3 billion plant being built in Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, in the United States. Hyundai Motor Group and LG Energy Solutions announced Thursday they would build a $4.3 billion electric battery plant as part of Hyundai's new electric vehicle assembly plant in Southeast Georgia. The companies will split investment, starting production as soon as late 2025. And that's all the news that'll fit in this half hour. Please stick around for the Do These Schools Committee with Tobe and press that equal sign in com to see all the other cool stuff that goes on, like Harry Larry and Something Blue. So, see you on Monday. Hey, what do you know? I finished in time. See if we can get some exit music going.
You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
You're listening to...
Get the news over with. I want
to... You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.